33277 online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. Ho, ho, ho to the last business bunker of the year.
It certainly is.
Yeah, how many have we done?
Why can't I hear you?
Oh, probably
because you've been fiddling with a mic again, haven't you? Look, you've taken the spit guard off.
Not me, Governor.
Yeah, I washed that special.
The spit guard. Well, let me tell you. Can you hear me now?
No, you're echoing. I don't know what you're doing there.
Oh, well, You twiddle with your knobs and I'll just tell you. So I, as every year of the last 15 or so years of Channel Radio, Business Bunker and everything, we've been to various different studios over the year, haven't we? And I hauled, well, the new husband goes up in the loft. I don't go in the loft. He goes up there. Usually a foot comes through the ceiling.
Can you do me a favour? Can you borrow Justin's mic for a moment? Because that mic isn't working.
Okay. Hello.
That's better.
Hello, Business Bunker. So where was I? So I send up every year around this time for the final Business Bunker of the year. I send the new husband up to the loft, Justin. Got Justin Dean flanking me on the left, videographer, famous. I send new husband up, and often there'll be a little foot crashing through the ceiling, you know, where he goes through the rafters. That's why I send him up, not me. Got it?
Right.
Now Justin hasn't got to even answer me. Anyway, so this year I got them out, and they're in a little box, you know, as you do, with all the crackers and the old things.
Well, there are mice in there.
No mice.
Bats.
In loft. Bats in the belfry. We do have bats,
yeah,
actually.
I thought you might.
You see them of a night. So I got them out, and I thought, well, they smell all right, but I thought, do you know what? I'm going to wash them. First time, so I did them all by hand, Justin.
Did you iron them?
Yeah, I've ironed them, of course.
Hello.
Do they feel nice?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Jules, do you want to try your mic now?
Well, not really. I mean, you're making me change mics all the time. You're ruining my creativity. Hello.
Well, we'll move the other one away from here.
Hello.
No, it's still not working.
I know. I'll just carry on. Anyway, so I've washed them, and we're all in lovely ones. There's a little bit of course, it's eco laundry powder. None of the chemicals, Justin. Justin, just nod, because your mic's not working, because I've taken your mic. Anyway, happy Christmas to all our listeners. Ho, ho, ho. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from how your business is doing. And is the new rate of minimum pay, is that affecting you?
Well, not yet, because it doesn't come in until April.
I know, but it has affected some of my business people that I speak to, because they're worried about April. And I don't know if you saw my tweet, Paul Andrews. So new husband and I went to Farm and Harper, which is a really nice cafe restaurant in Whitstable, where we live. And because of the cost of living and that, we've been going out less. Everybody else going out less?
Yeah.
We crack open a bottle at home. I cook. He cooks. Makes a terrible mess in the kitchen. You know, terrible mess.
What's his signature dish?
Well, his signature dish really is being a Swedish chef. So whatever he does, it's roadie, roadie, roadie. Starting off on the left and working his way around.
Right.
Signature dish, I've taught him everything, actually. We've been together 30 years.
Yeah.
So I've now taught him. He did a good roast last night. Roast beef. Yeah. I've taught him what to
do. I didn't see your breakfast this morning.
No, I'm a bit under the weather, so I just had a smoothie. Very boring.
Oh, boring. Yeah, she normally posts a picture of her breakfast every morning.
Yeah, well, no, I had a smoothie, but it was a very good one. It had
it one of those green things?
Yeah, it was brown, yeah.
Oh, God.
You'd have hated it.
Yeah.
Cacao it was. Yeah. Full of cacao.
Looks like you swept it off a farmyard.
Bitumen 12. What were you saying, Justin?
I like them.
Yeah, cacao. I'll make you. If you pop over, I'll make you one.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
So it had ginger root. You'd like that, Paul.
Ginger root.
Root.
I used to go to school with him.
ginger root, celery, all organic, spinach. What else did it have? Apple, black cherries, frozen. That's good, that gives it a good kick. Coconut, 100% coconut. And water, of course. And then what else? I think
I don't know.
Oh, a bit of collagen. Marine collagen. Right. I think I told you about them. We had a chat about that, didn't we?
Marine collagen.
Marine collagen, yeah.
What's that doing?
Yeah, well, that's
pump your lips up.
No, I wish. Yeah. My lips have seen better days. I know, I'm a has-been, Paul Andrews. You and I both at the age where we're has-beens, aren't we, darling?
Damn right.
We just carry on, but we're has-beens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be good, didn't we?
Yeah, once upon a time.
Do you remember? There's all those pictures of us looking thin and young.
According to the life expectancy charts, I've only got 10 years left.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Not sure I can cope with
we need to get through this show pretty quick.
I'm not sure I can cope with another 10 years of you, frankly. Anyway, happy Christmas to all our listeners, and we'd love to hear from you. Use the hashtag BeBunker and we'll hear you. And in the studio, we've got very exciting. We've got Duncan Collins, who's the dad of Dexter Collins, and you're going to hear from them in the first half of the show.
We are, yeah.
And then we have Justin Dean, the famous videographer. You've often seen his videos.
You're going to see a lot more in the next few days as well.
And actually, if you Google Paul Andrews and Jules Serkin, you'll see some of his
on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah,
they come up. We'd love to hear from you. What you're doing, Christmas prep, sprouts. I made my Christmas gravy last night.
Emily's here too.
Well, Emily's here, but she hasn't got a mic.
Oh, no.
Hello, Emily. Hello. Maybe we'll get you in. We'll get rid of Dad and get you in. Made my Christmas gravy last night. I'm going to freeze it.
You made the Christmas gravy and
you froze
it.
So I roasted 24 chicken wings. And then I've simmered them for 3 hours.
What did you do with the chicken wings?
Roasted them.
Yeah, and then what?
Then I put them in water and simmered them for 3 hours.
And then what?
Now they're rotting in the fridge, ready for me to do the rest tonight. I'm going to, take off stuff and do stuff. I don't know, I've got to read the recipe now.
You're it's a Delia. Are you going to eat them?
Oh, no, I'll give the dog, because they've been simmered for 3 hours. There won't be any, the dog will love them, Darcy will love them.
Aren't the bones too small for a dog?
No, I'll debone it for her.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
But you know what she has now every morning? She has almost a raw diet, so she's now having 3 chicken wings raw every morning.
Really?
I didn't think you could give dogs chicken wings, but apparently raw you can. She loves them. Thing is, she takes it from her bowl into the lounge and then puts it down on the carpet with all the blood and that on it.
Yeah.
And eats it off the carpet, which
and
is not...
And you just stand there and watch her.
Well, what can I do? I've got a carpet cleaner, luckily, and that's not the new husband. So Tracy Ferguson is joined us. Hello, Tracy. I expect you're making all your creative Christmas cards and you've sent them all off. She said she's listening and she's loving the opening Bee Bunker chat, which means... mainly you being curmudgeonly.
I haven't said a word. I haven't got a word in edgeways yet. You haven't stopped talking yet. You haven't even breathed.
Just as well. When's your turkey coming?
I'm not having turkey.
Oh, you're having beef?
I'm having a rib of beef.
Lovely. Ooh. When's it coming?
I don't know.
Oh.
We got it from, what's his name?
Russell.
Yes,
Donna Russell.
Yeah, he's sending it.
Yeah.
Friday or Saturday,
well,
I guess.
It would be good if it arrived before Christmas.
Well, it would help, yeah,
because
it's
don't
for
know.
Christmas dinner. I don't know. I don't get involved in these things, do I? I just pay for them.
Well, I just...
We decided not to have turkey this year.
We are.
Because I pulled a stunt last year.
Yeah, what did you do? Not enough streaky bacon?
No. Lucy, my daughter, she's 12 on Boxing Day, yeah?
Yeah.
She claimed that she hated turkey. It made her feel sick.
Oh, no.
Right. So we had a turkey and then we cooked chicken for Lucy.
And then she was sick.
No. And me being the way I am, I actually put turkey on her plate, not chicken. And she ate it without noticing.
Ah.
Only when I told her, she's now... and then Amanda said to me, oh, I'm bored of turkey. So we decided to have rib of beef.
Well, you only have turkey once a year. How can you be bored with it?
Well... we're having rib of beef.
Well, that'd be very nice. I'll be around what time? 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Because we eat when it's dark.
Yeah, my mum's coming as well.
Oh, lovely. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
We always eat when it's dark.
Although, my mum's 95 and she's got dementia, yeah. And she said to me yesterday, wasn't Christmas lovely? I said, we haven't had it yet, mum. Oh, haven't we?
Oh. Well, Ruth, my mum, who's 93...
Stop taking the spit guards off the microphones.
She makes the Christmas pudding. She makes the Christmas pudding and she puts a coin in it. Do you put coin in yours? Mm. Puts a coin in it. And then she also makes the bread sauce. She always makes that.
I'm so old. I remember my grandma putting silver sixpenny bits.
Florins.
No, sixpenny bits in Christmas pudding. We all used to choke on them.
Yeah, they're great. Well, I don't know what my mum's going to put in. Probably one of those £5 notes, because they're waterproof, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all plastic now.
I'm always washing them. They're great. Drip dry.
Why do they do that, though?
I don't know.
I do.
It's like Monopoly.
If you give him a microphone, I can talk to him. Yeah, the pink one may work now.
Pink?
Try it.
What am I supposed to... Honestly, you can't get the staff, Justin. Mm. You really can't. Sorry, we're just swapping mics.
So basically, what's happened is somebody's been messing about with a button, so I've been trying to reset it.
One, two.
No, still not going.
Mm. We'll work on it. I can just pass it over. But anyway, bread sauce, my mum comes, and everything, so it's rather nice. We're quite a small Christmas this year. I've got Shay, Josh is in Dubai, and he's going skiing.
Right.
Not in Dubai, he's going skiing in France. And I love this. Justin's all technical, look.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it. I might know.
But quite a small Christmas, but I've got my tree up. Did I send you a picture? I haven't yet, have I don't think.
Right.
Got a real tree.
I sent you a picture of my black plastic one.
Yeah, I've seen it. Same every year, you know.
Yeah,
like your beef. We've had some good tweets as well, so I'm just going to read some. We've had a tweet from our friends Tenterden Chamber. Happy Christmas to you. Hi, Jules, and your little helper, Paul. Please give a shout out to a busy chamber team enjoying another festive show. And so he's copied in quite a few interesting people there. Herondon Vets, Tenterden Chamber One, The Big Rap, Potters HD, and DG East. So hello to all of you. I'm going to send
Is that Terry and DG East?
That's Tezza, yeah.
Terry does Rallycross.
Nice.
Yeah, Dexter.
Yep.
And we've also had a tweet from Martin Reeves and the Vandellas. He says, "Dear Paul and Jules, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out today, please, as we're having a massive clear out here. Recycling centres and charity shop visits today. Merry Christmas to you both and all of your listeners." Thank you for that. That's
Merry
good.
Christmas.
Yeah, I wonder what where he's clearing out. Is he in his loft or what's
he's
doing?
Normally in his loft on a Tuesday, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He is listening. And we've had a lovely email from Sheppey Business Network. They say their inaugural meeting of SBN, Sheppey Business Network, is on Wednesday the 20th of September. That's manana.
So he is.
5 to 7 p.m. Island Works, Dockyard Church, Garrison Road. They've got a lovely typo here. Look, Justin. Somebody's had a bit too much sherry. Garrison Ropad, they call it. You know, I go with it.
Garrison Road what?
Ropad, they've called it. They've had a bit too much sherry when they've been typing this.
Okay.
The elves. It's in Sheerness. And to go to this inaugural meeting on manana at 5 to 7 p.m., you can email hello@islandworks.co.uk for full details and to book. So that's 5 to 7 manana on the sun-kissed Isle of Sheppey.
Cool. Do you want to read something else?
Yeah. So we've got the Kent and Medway Business Summit. That's on the 12th of January, so 2024. Hallelujah. Bringing together business, academia and strategic partners, you can be a part of the conversation. You can book early to secure your ticket. And you can receive £10 off the ticket price if you purchase early. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, go on to events, and it's 12th of January, so that's one for your diary. Well done, everybody. We also have entrepreneurs, Kelly Gordon and Amanda Gardner, and they've joined forces to create, they've founded a creative recruitment agency with Not For. To exclusively represent disabled talent. So Kelly and Emma said they had a very clear vision in mind to improve opportunity and representation of disabled people working in creative roles and to advocate the inclusivity and diversity. So statistics from disabled charity Scope UK, that's a disability charity, Scope UK, show that the employment rate of disabled people is 53% compared to 82% of non-disabled people, and that disabled people are almost twice as likely to be unemployed as non-disabled and three times as likely to be economically inactive. So let's hear it for Kelly Gordon and Emma Gardner with Not For, so creative recruitment agency especially for representing disabled talent. So we should have them on the show in the new year, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely, yeah.
They haven't been on the show, they need to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a tweet from Chips and Dinks.
Ah.
Lovely Bev and Tony. They say, wishing the Business Bunker presenters, guests and listeners a wonderful Christmas and a happy, peaceful and prosperous new year. Thank you for all of your support during 2023. Well, thank you, Bev. I hope you have a lovely time with your family. And we'll see you all again. We're back on January the 9th.
Yeah.
We would be back before that, but Jules will have a hangover.
Yeah, I will. I'll have a hangover and a food over and everything else. And I'll be eating all my scraps up because I never waste anything.
Yeah.
Curry, turkey this,
you
turkey
and the dog.
That. Yeah.
You and the dog in the bowl. bowl full of scraps.
Yeah, exactly.
some chicken wings and stuff.
The dog that is not allowed on the sofa.
That sleeps on the sofa, yeah.
Now, actually, I was on the sofa and she came and stood and looked at me and then actually gets almost on top of me, lies down beside me, squashed in, and then gradually stretches out so that I have to get off the sofa. This is a greyhound life, you see. They rule the roost.
You don't believe in discipline then for your dog?
Not greyhounds, because they're like prima donnas. They're not normal dogs. You can't really discipline them. They get very upset. They cry and...
It's too bad.
They're very, very odd dogs, I'd say. I don't know if they're...
They suit you
dogs.
Down to the ground then, really.
Odd dogs. Yeah. Harsh. Marsh Network have a face-to-face networking in East Sussex. It's at the Pet Village Hall. See what we did there? P-E-T-T Village Hall. And it's on the 9th of January, the day we do the show, 10:30 till midday. Mm-hmm. So hello to all you and happy Christmas, Marsh Networking. To book for their networks, you can go to marshnetwork.co.uk. And they also have another one at the Ship Inn, which is a famous one. And that's at 118 High Street, Dymchurch. And the sat-nav for that, if you're going, if you want to write it down, is T for Tiger, N for Norman, 29-0, N for Nigel, and S for Sugar. It's a face-to-face meeting. And it's on the 1st of February, 2024.
Yeah. P for pterodactyl.
Lots of pterodactyls in Marsh side, I think.
There is.
I'm collecting my turkey on Christmas Eve.
Are you?
It's got a name and everything. It's running around.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I've seen
have
it.
Have you pointed at it and gone, I want that one? And it's looked at you and gone, bobble.
I know. Is that what they say?
Yeah, bobble.
Oh, it's very sad, isn't it? Yeah, it's got a name and everything.
What's it called?
Ethel.
Ethel.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very sad, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, how big is it?
Oh, big, big one. Yeah. It's. I don't really do kilos, but it's big enough to be 10.
What's in pounds, then?
I don't know. It's big enough. I just go, can I have one big enough for 10 people?
For 10 people?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, there's only 7 of us this year, but I like leftovers.
Yeah.
I like a turkey sandwich. That's my favourite thing after.
Mm.
You know, a couple of days later, watch a nice film, turkey sandwich with a cranberry, and you layer it up.
Have you seen our turkey toasty special in Sheerness?
I've heard about it.
It is to die for.
Have you had one, Justin?
Not yet.
Is that turkey?
No, that's the pink one.
It's I don't not, think it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got turkey. It's got turkey, chicken, cranberry and brie in it.
That's great.
And hold on. And a side dish of dipping gravy.
It does look very nice.
Dipping gravy.
Dipping gravy, yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Right, do you know what?
Tunage.
It's cheesy tunage time.
Yeah, very good. It's only 18 minutes past.
Yeah, this is in homage to Dexter and Christmas at the same time.
Yeah.
So what do you think I'm going to play?
I don't know. I can't think.
Clue.
Huh?
What?
I'm scared.
What do you reckon? You don't know.
Have no clue.
No, I haven't got a clue.
It's only to be...
Is it a Christmas song?
Ah, it is, partially.
Driving Home for Christmas.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. Dexter, Driving Home for Christmas.
Christmas. Of course it is.
Yeah, Paul's been up all night thinking of that.
Exactly.
See those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line.
driver next to me. He's just the same. Just the same.
Dockyard Church, Garrison Road, Sheerness, a community workspace and coffee shop. Check our website, islandworks.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Meet Holly. She's got a job, but she's unhappy for many reasons. She doesn't earn much, her manager doesn't support her, and the job has no future. But then she found jobsinkent.com. It's Kent's largest job site with over 25 years' experience. It covers all industries and sectors and has permanent, contract and part-time positions. Want to know more? 1. Visit jobsinkent.com. 2. Search jobs by industry, location and keywords. 3. Find thousands of jobs for you. And 4. Apply direct to the employer. Now she has a better income, she feels valued by her employer, and she's building her career. So, what are you waiting for? Visit jobsinkent.com today.
Ah, driving home for Christmas. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Two in one.
Very
two
good.
In one, cheesy tunage, that was.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show a young upcoming race driver.
Yep, that's me.
Dexter Collins. Dexter, you're 11?
Yeah.
11 years
old.
11. Cool. So tell the listeners a little bit about you, Dexter. You're 11. Where do you go to school?
I go to school at Holcombe Grammar School in near Chatham.
Right, okay. So if you're 11, you're in year 7?
Yeah.
Right, so you just started there?
Yeah.
What's it like?
I mean, all of the year nines just barred you out of the way, but...
Yeah.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
But you've got some mates, have you already?
Yeah.
A couple of mates.
Yeah.
You only need, I think, two good mates or maybe three, and then you're okay, aren't you?
One cool thing is that my... I think it was my granddad, so my dad's dad, knew some people, and my granddad was very good mates with them. And then my dad...
Do you want me to say it?
Yes.
Basically, family friends of us, and they're I grew up with their daughter and their their son. And as it turned out, their kid is exactly the same age as what Dexter is, and he's going to Holcombe Grammar as well.
So we're quite good mates.
Okay, so you started off running, basically, with one good mate.
Okay, well, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. And a blazer a bit too big for you, like the sleeves down here and stuff. No. Your mum is very good then, because I used to get my kids' clothes all like 10 sizes too big so that it would last.
They grew into them by the time they started work.
Unfortunately, that's never the problem we've had with Dexter. He's always been far too big. He's a pretty big 11-year-old.
Okay.
And then my dad's...
Hello.
What are you doing there?
Nothing. Videoing. You get on with your job now. Ignore what I'm doing.
I'll try to. So, Dexter.
Yep.
How long have you been karting?
Oh, it's coming up to 5-6 years. But then I grew out of Bambinos when I was 7.
Hang on, what's a Bambino?
So it's like...
It's a small kart?
Yeah, a small kart for... aimed at
6 to 8 year olds.
Right.
So I grew out of them because I got too tall.
Okay.
And then couldn't kart for half a year, so. Right.
So what are you in now?
Not
a Bambino.
No. I finished the season in Minimax, and then now I'm in Junior Rotax practicing for next year in March.
Okay.
So what do you do? Because I don't know anything about go-karting. Do you go on a track?
Yeah.
A special go-karting track?
Yeah.
And is it sort of in the hills and woods, and do you go through, woody bits, or is it a sort of like a racetrack tarmac stuff?
It's racetrack, but it's...
They're like baby Formula Ones, basically.
Okay.
So, he started off in Bambinos, which is like how the kids start. That was at 6 years old. He did a course at Butmore Park. It's absolutely torrential weather. It was about an inch of water on the track, and at that point we knew that he was probably going to be a bit of a lunatic the way he was going around.
Splashing all of them off.
And then he's...
So you like the wet, do you?
Yes.
You like an aquaplane, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did that, and then he did some corporate sort of championships and did quite well in those. And then COVID come along, and then obviously there's no karting, there's no sports.
Then somehow I come back and then started winning everything, and now...
Right. So I want to go right back to the beginning, though, Dexter. What made you get into karting in the first place? Was it something your family were doing, or did you just kind of rock up one day, look at it and go, oh, I want some of that?
So basically, it's in the blood, because my dad used to do motocross.
Right, okay.
Like, he had a dirt bike and everything.
Yeah.
And racing around roads like a lunatic.
I did grass track for a little while.
And then my mum did Formula Woman and got into the top 50.
Right.
She went to go into Formula Woman. And she made it to the final 50 out of about 5,000.
Right. So
she's a bit of a lunatic as well.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Who's this?
My mum.
Emery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's actually the... So Dexter's sponsored by Saw Indoor Karting.
Right.
And he won their first championship that they did. And she won one of the women's championships as well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So he got quite a racing family.
So are you feeling inadequate now then, Duncan?
I had the conversation, not last weekend, but the weekend with my dad. My dad's, he took me racing. We've always gone up to Brands Hatch and that. And we had the conversation and it just started raining. And we had the conversation with my dad that basically conceded that he was probably a better driver than the pair of us put together, because it's built into, he's been doing it so much, and the reactions and the way he drives, you can just tell he's races are wired differently to everyone else, I think.
Okay. So it was in the blood. Your dad took you to Butmore Park? Was that the first experience?
Yes, because every time I went to my school, like preschool or normal primary school, I just said, I want to go Buckmore, I want to race. Or at least, can I see carts go round?
Yeah.
So I always wanted to almost watch and kart. Then even, so I think it was when I was 4 or 5, my dad got me, a pedal go-kart.
Yeah.
One of them for it was either Christmas or birthday.
Yeah.
Mm. And I just loved going fast, and then he got me into karting.
My grandson, who's five, his name's Bear, he loves cars too, and he's got an electric car. They live in France, and they live in the middle of nowhere, so he actually drives it on the road, this electric car. Yeah, there's nothing about it. There's no traffic or anything there, and he whizzes up and down. Right, it's a McLaren car thing he's got. It's not a car, it's like a model car, basically.
Yeah,
battery powered. He only does about 15 miles an hour top speed, but he loves it. So cool. So there you are watching carts and stuff like that, and you go, Dad, can I have a go in the Bambinos?
Basically,
tell me your very first experience of getting in the car and how you felt and what happened when you drove it for the very first time. If you can remember that far back.
I was just like, whoa, this is different to pedal go-kart. And then I started doing well, like getting podiums or something like that, but not in finals, in heats. And then my dad bought me a helmet and suit. Now I've went about through, how many? Four, five?
What, suits?
Yeah.
Seven, I think.
Yeah, and then loads of boots.
And boots.
Kids are annoying. They grow all the time. It's blooming annoying. They just stop it. Just stop it, right?
Especially when size 10, 11 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty big for an 11-year-old.
Yep. But I'm interested in your actual driving experience, yeah?
Oh,
When you first, the very first time you got in a car and you go, that's the accelerator, that's the brake, that's the steering wheel. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it? And what happened when you did your very first lap for the very first time ever in a Bambino go-kart?
Well, it was around the small track of Buckmore, so we couldn't really go that fast. But I was just like, I've done this before in electric karts when I was about five or something. And then I got into the Bambino, I was just like... Jesus.
The Bambinos have a petrol engine?
Yeah.
Yep, yep, okay. What size do you know?
Probably size of me when I was five.
Right, you know, what CC? Do you know what?
I'm not sure about CC.
It was about 50 CC or something.
50 or 60 CC, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Probably about so, 6 horsepower.
Yeah, so still fairly powerful for such a young one.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking you those questions is that it appears that you're a bit of a natural talent, yeah? So, you know, a lot of people will get in a car, and I've seen it with motor racing, I've seen people get in a race car, yeah? And they don't really understand the difference between a road car and a race car when you're driving it,
yeah?
Because with a go-kart, the same as a Formula 3 car or a Formula Ford or an F1 car, you're actually sitting between the wheels. Where at a road car, you sit on the top of the wheels, which is a completely different experience and a completely different driving experience. So the first time you drove the car, the cart, did you find it difficult? Did it come naturally?
It almost, maybe like the first lap was a bit difficult, but then it just, the second lap, it come naturally because of the blood.
And did you have any driving lessons, as it were? You know, did people tell you about the turning point and the apex of bends and all of that kind of stuff? Yeah.
While I was being the test driver,
the way they structure the Bambinos is it was three stages. You had to pass each stage to sort of move on, and they gave tuition on sort of the first thing was, could you start go, could you go in a straight line, could you go round an oval, and then finally on the third one they let you out into the track.
So
it was gradual progression. That was a bump more they did that, and it's really, really good actually in terms of getting the drivers all up to sort of getting their confidence and being able to do it, and
absolutely
getting them out on the track rather than just sending them out.
And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you know, even though you don't think a Bambino is very quick, I mean, for a five-year-old, it is still pretty quick. And it could be dangerous. So, the fact that you get tuition to do it is great, isn't it? Because you're progressing and learning as you go along with each step. Okay, so you moved up from Bambinos when?
When I was, like, on the verge of 8.
Okay.
Because then I could go into junior club karts.
Right.
Okay. So that's at Buckmore. It's almost like a cadet. So midway through senior and something.
And did all this mean that Dad had to keep buying you carts, or do you rent them from the track, or what happens?
So he started off in corporate championships, so at sort of Bucknell and Bayford, and those are where you sort of go along and you use their corporate carts.
You're right.
Which are again are good. They got academies, and particularly something like Bayford Meadows, which you go there and they do like academy days where you go and they actually go and they sort of say, oh, you need to do line, you need to take this line, you need to do this. So they help mentor and tutor the kids as they go. Hmm. And then obviously they do the races as well at different levels and at different weights.
Right.
The thing that's always gone against Dexter, for I'm talking lots, but is obviously where he's bigger than the average age of whatever he's been. He's always been sort of disadvantaged. So
you mean he's taller?
Yeah.
And heavier.
He's,
and weight,
he's
weight,
taller.
Weight plays a massive part in karting. Mm. And the whole way that karting is structured is all in preference of small, light drivers.
So it's a bit like jockeys and horse racing. Mm.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get into cars, unless you're doing the sort of like the formula stuff, it becomes completely irrelevant. So there's a generation of drivers that are effectively talented that probably never proceed past karting because they're just not competitive because it's not offered any weight comparisons. There's no weight equalisation or anything like that. But somewhere like Bayford Meadows, which is really good, they run multiple weight categories for the age groups so that you can be competitive at your weight category.
Yeah, okay, got it. Cool. So you moved up to this next category.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Started getting a bit better with some first and seconds and stuff like that. I've come third in the championship, which was a bad championship. I got really unlucky in most of the rounds and gave up. And then
You got unlucky from what point of view? From just
from getting taken out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then
again and again.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So I don't know anything about this. So why do you get taken out for fouling or
no?
Somebody hits you.
So somebody spins you out.
No, oh, okay.
On purpose.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit right. And is that allowed?
No. It's not allowed, but...
It happens.
Things like rubbing and racing is fine. Yeah. But like pod to pod and wheel to wheel.
Mm-hmm.
What's the pod, the front or the back?
The pod is the side. So, you know, on the F1.
So you can brush past someone and just push them over a bit and that's allowed?
Yeah, squeeze them. Cool. You can squeeze them onto the grass.
Mm. Sounds vicious.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
It sounds vicious.
It doesn't get any better as you go up.
No, it doesn't.
There you go. It gets worse, if anything.
It does.
Okay, so your inaugural season at that level, you had some big boys bullying you, basically, pushing you about on the track. Where did you go from there?
Well, this is where COVID then hit. So COVID sort of hit during that period. So obviously there was no racing, everywhere was shut.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so there wasn't any racing at all, but I think it probably did him good because he came back much hungrier.
Right.
And much more fired up.
So why you weren't able to race on a track, did you sit at home with a steering wheel making race noises? So you can
not really, but my dad got me a sim rig, you know, steering wheels.
Yeah.
And stuff like that connected to a PC.
Yeah.
So you were still practicing in a funny kind of way. Virtually.
Yeah. I know that sounded weird. You know that I used to own a Formula 3 motor racing team.
Yeah.
My driver and I, the night before every race, used to walk the track and he used to make car noises. Seriously, while we were walking around, he'd make the gear changes out loud. He'd go, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm changing up the fifth there, aren't I?" Really? We're walking. But he'd get it in his mind where everything was on the track. And we'd walk the track. It was a bloody long way as well. And we walked the track two or three times. And he'd really just go through the motions of driving through corners and what have you. As Dad said, that probably helped you quite a bit in terms of resetting you, yeah?
Mm.
So, when you were finally allowed back, what happened?
I basically come third in a championship because I was still giving up. But then, was that before? No.
So when you come back from COVID, that's when you basically...
Oh, yeah.
And so you won the Bayford Championship.
Two times.
And then... You come, was it third in the
third in Bucknell?
Bucknell, but there was a little bit of a
banter
track. A bit of a, there's a few, how can we put it, unsportingly moments in that which went unpunished, which was a bit unfortunate, but again that's motor racing, so
yeah.
And then he won the winter championship, and it was around this sort of point
at Bayford
that we bought him a four stroke cart,
right,
and we then started practicing what's called owner driver, which is where you own the cart and you take it to the track, and you basically,
it's all yours, you have to do all the setup and everything.
So you take it there, you do the setup, you repair it when it goes wrong, etc. So he practiced in that, and I think that helped him become quite smooth, because of four strokes you need to carry your speed and him through the corners,
right.
So, and then the next championship come around, because you won that as well, didn't you, I think?
Yeah, I did.
And then we got him a Rotax engine, which is a two-stroke water-cooled engine.
125cc.
Okay.
And then he started practicing in that, and the idea was to go up into the Minimax category when he turned 11. Unfortunately, Motorsport UK decided they were going to change all the championships around and change all the different classes.
Right.
So he was basically left in a bit of a limbo, because the class that he would have gone into wasn't existing, and he wouldn't have fitted in the smaller class which they now got.
Right.
So we were fortunate that both Bayford and Buckmore both run Minimax classes, which enabled him to actually race. Admittedly, the grids were pretty much reduced down to threes and fours rather than being the 20s that it was the previous year, but it still gave him the good experience of doing it. And you know, we did some other races in Red Lodge and places like that, but you know, won 16 out of 16, didn't you, last year?
Wow, well done.
Nice one. Yeah.
And took two championships as well.
Okay.
So,
winning by lots of points.
But again, you'd think it would be done on skill, but Motorsport UK was talking to him all last year about him basically being allowed special dispensation to run juniors because of his size. He's already bigger than the majority of the ones that are doing it. They granted it last year. They granted it to an 11-year-old that's just about to turn 11 on his 11th birthday, who's doing international racing, but they wouldn't grant dispensation for him, so he's now got to wait until March to race again, which is a little bit unfortunate, bearing in mind that they set precedent to do it. But again, these are the things you need to deal with. So,
right.
So next year he's racing with a team called GMS, who's a really big sort of local team, well set up, nice friendly environment, lots of help. Build monster engines as well. So if anyone's out there that wants to do karting, this GMS is a good place to go and speak.
It's the best place.
They've got the biggest tent, haven't they?
Yes, they do. Right. At Bayford, their tent is 30 times this room.
Is this a corporate hospitality tent, is it?
No, it's just filled with carts. It's actually something on race day when you get all the different... I mean, sometimes they run about 20-odd people on a day. And obviously that's across all the different classes from...
So it's more like a pit garage, is it?
Yes.
OK, all right.
But obviously that lovely smell of two-stroke oil. By the time you get home, you can still smell it.
Absolutely.
There's a trailer.
Cool. So you're not driving at the moment. You start again in March, is that right?
Yep.
Cool.
Well, we're still practicing.
Still practicing, yeah.
Okay.
And had quite a successful weekend on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Setting my quickest time in junior and being 300ths off of one of the quickest drivers last year in juniors.
Brilliant.
Rookies.
Brilliant. So, Dexter, what's your long-term ambition with this racing? Where do you want to go to?
Well, my main priority is getting to touring car, because I just love this.
Touring cars?
Yeah, touring car.
Okay. Bumper cars.
And then...
Susie's driving.
You went a bit far with that one. And then second priority, probably truck racing, and then...
Truck racing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think you'll in touring cars? Do you think you'll go through the lesser Formula first? You know, so doing something like Ginettas or Fiestas or Minis or something, or you're going to go straight for the touring car thing?
Hopefully, junior saloon car,
right?
And then move up to Something else.
Whatever budget and sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, there's a lot of money in it. Some friends of mine, their son Albert, he races Fiestas at the moment. And his sister does Mini Cross as well. They're doing really well at that. There's a lot of formulas that you can do, especially as a young man coming into it, or young person coming into it, before you get into the full blown touring car stuff. I used to, they don't do it anymore. They used to have a thing called Thunder Saloons. I don't know if you ever saw that, which were modified touring cars.
Oh.
Yeah. Some of them were outrageous. They were quite good fun. Cool. So, it's going well.
Yes, it is.
As always with motorsport, you need money.
Yes, you do. Sponsors play a massive part.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody out there that wants to back an up-and-coming young driver, please feel free to get in contact. I'm not suggesting anything, but I'm just going to tell you this. Eddie Jordan, who used to run Formula One team, he came across a young lad karting. And funny enough, I saw this lad karting as well back in the day. He needed money to progress his career, and Eddie Jordan did a deal with him. Eddie Jordan financed his entire early racing career for a percentage of his final earnings, and the lad was Johnny Herbert, and Johnny won F3, Johnny won F3000, Johnny won podiums in F1, had a horrendous accident in F3000.
Yeah. That was a terrible one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What one?
That's where the front of his nose come off and his legs were hanging.
Oh,
through.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was over Dingle Dell on the GP track at Brands Hatch.
Yeah.
Have you driven at Brands Hatch?
No.
I suppose they won't let you yet, will they? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But I've been in a... It was like this test drive thing. I didn't drive,
but they took you round. Yeah,
yeah. Round the rally course, this absolute maniac driving.
Yeah. So that was the rallycross one, where they go across the south bank.
They got the rallycross.
They got one at the back now, haven't they? Because they used to do rallycross at the circuit, where the south bank is, where you can watch the racing normally. During rallycross, they used to drive across that.
Yeah.
We were talking about that when we went up to see trucks, weren't we? Mm. About they'd cut across the bottom of the hill, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now they built it all up, you can't.
Right,
they don't do it anymore.
Okay. Cool. Look, Dexter, we wish you continued success with your racing.
Yeah.
If anybody out there would like to sponsor or support Dexter, then do get in touch. You got a Facebook page or a YouTube channel or something?
Instagram, Dexter Collins Racing.
Dexter Collins Racing. If you follow Dexter on Instagram, you'll be able to get in touch with him there. If not, you can email me. hello@bizradio.co.uk, and I will pass on your details to Dexter and Duncan. So if you want to support the career of our next British world champion, then do so.
And you'd be surprised at the exposure you actually get as a sponsor. I mean, obviously we're here with Justin, who's one of the sponsors of Dexter. But I mean, Dexter's got a following of 16,500 people on Instagram. He's got 3,000 on TikTok. He's got 2,000 on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a considerable footprint. And obviously, when you actually go to the tracks themselves, I mean, there's thousands of people at these different circuits that see your brand. So it's a good way of getting local businesses seen and supported.
Absolutely, and it stands out. It's something different. Yeah. As an advertising medium for businesses, there's a lot of businesses that kind of sport suits as well. I don't just mean car dealers and stuff like that, you know. In my day, it was a lot of tech firms supported race teams. Cool. So we wish you success with that, Dexter. And anybody that wants to know more about supporting him, then either follow him on Instagram or drop me an email. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to all of my other sponsors, like Boxy, Caddy, obviously Creative Motion.
H&O Consulting. I can read his shirt.
Yeah, he's got it all over his shirt.
H&O Consulting. KCR, GMS. I can't see down the bottom of the shirt. You read the rest out.
Beef Gym, Caddy.
Caddy. What's Caddy?
Caddy is...
It's a recruitment firm.
Oh, okay.
And then creative motion, boxy, saw. Then we've got Cyan Formworks and
Lasso.
Lasso, yeah.
Well, fantastic. Done.
So you've got quite a few sponsors already, but he needs more, so yeah. Do get in touch.
We haven't turned him round. He's probably got space on the back of his shirt.
He's probably got space on the back, yeah.
For lots more sponsors.
I don't have space on the back.
Oh, we have to get two shirts then.
Yeah.
Or long sleeves.
We can always make space for
the Yeah. Cool. Dexter, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Yep.
But for the moment, Dexter Collins, Racer Supreme, well done.
Thank you.
Cool. We've got a few minutes before we break for the news, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Justin from Creative Motion.
So it's funny, because Schumacher is actually trending on Twitter at the moment.
Right.
So it's very apt, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's he up to? My dad, when I drove, my dad, Victor, who's not with us anymore, but he was always saying to me, she drives like Stirling Moss, she does. Do you know who Stirling Moss is?
Yes.
Dex? Wow, that's amazing.
I had lunch with Stirling Moss and his wife.
Did he pay? What did you pay?
I paid, actually. No, I'm not sure, actually. Anyway, it was lovely. We had a lovely time. It was at Goodwood.
Goodwood, yeah.
Yeah, it was a Festival of Speed. I can't remember what we were racing there. Something or other.
Something with wheels.
Possibly for a little while it had wheels. Anyway, it probably didn't finish with all four of them, but yeah.
Tazy 64 has tweeted, what a talented young man, and enjoying the conversation with Dexter.
Thank you.
And you can follow Tracy at Tazy 64 T-A-Z-I. She's the owner of Plucky's World, and it's pluckysworld.com, the website, with a Y-S, Plucky's. And she's going to be doing more creative workshops, I believe, in the new year.
Fantastic.
Well done, Tracy.
ASL Recruitment said, we'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, Paul. We're wishing all of our candidates a very Merry Christmas and thanking them all for their hard work and commitment over 2023. And a big thank you to our clients for their continued business. Here's to a happy, healthy and prosperous 2024 for all. So thank you for that, guys. That's ASL Recruitment. I think they're in Bexhill, if I remember rightly. So thank you for that.
And we have Medway Skills. It's the first ever Medway Business and Skills Showcase event, which takes place on Wednesday, the 10th of April next year, 2024. It's at Mid Kent College, and the event will celebrate the best of businesses in Medway with a packaged agenda full of resources and information, and it's useful for any local business professional, whether you're just starting out or looking to develop your business and skills. Now the email to go to is businessandskill@medway.gov.uk. It'll be on events on Kent Business Radio after the show. If you'd like to showcase your business at this event, we're looking for businesses to be part of the running order for the showcase. If you'd like to be involved, use that email or get in touch with kentbusinessradio.co.uk. There's going to be networking opportunities throughout the day with over 14,000 businesses and an economy worth $5.9 billion. And Medway prides itself on being one of the most promising growth areas in the southeast. So there you are. Good.
Fantastic.
One.
Did you read this tweet from Martin Reeves?
You read it.
Dear Paul and Jules, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out today, please, as we're having a massive clear out here. Recycling centres and charity shop visits all day. Merry Christmas to you both and all your listeners. Well, thank you, Martin, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family too.
And the new husband is listening in, so
blimey.
Gavin. I am now in the doghouse. He says, you saying I put my foot in it, meaning coming through the loft,
yeah.
And then he retorts, mention the hat with the lights that got ruined. Yeah, so when I washed all the hats, there was one I didn't realise had a battery with like flashing lights and things, and I ruined it.
You washed it. You put it in the washing machine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did it by hand, but then I got bored and I've put them through the ringer on the spin thing cycle. And then he retorts, Swedish chef! Exclamation mark. So he's,
believe her, Gavin. We know what a good cook you are.
He's a good cook, but it's the mess. It's the mess.
Well, that's what you're for, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently. I have to start on the left of the hob and swing round the
whole
kitchen.
Did you read Casey Canine?
Yes, where is he? Casey Kane, I have answered him, but I'm on Ripley's now at the moment. Hang on.
Let me do it again. Hello.
Hi, Jules and your little helper. Yeah, I read that.
Hello, Paul and your little helper.
Yeah.
Please, can you give a festive shout out to a very helpful greyhound donating to Kent Greyhound Rescue to buy Christmas lunches for all the dogs in the kennels?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Chicken wings.
chicken wings, as long as they're raw. I've got the picture of Casey Canine with his Clio, you know, wiggly thing that all greyhounds have to have, this caterpillar that they sleep with. Did I read this? I made Christmas cards. Have I read that? I made Christmas cards for all my neighbours last night, Jules, because I said she'd be creative, didn't I?
Yeah.
And today I've been asked to quote for facilitated strengths, values and creative sessions for March next year. After realising how much I enjoyed the creative workshop at the Island Works on the Isle of Sheppey, and I'm now adding that to my sessions.
Fantastic. Mm. DG East has been on. Hi, Paul and your little helper. You're an elf, aren't you?
That's me, yeah.
Yeah, you're an elf.
Yeah, elf and safety.
Hi, Paul and your little helper. Please, can you give a shout out to a very exciting vehicle supplier who delivered a vehicle at last to an old customer yesterday for Christmas? Well, Terry, well done, mate. It's you know, it's taken a long time to be able to deliver cars again. The shortage.
Yeah, IQ Property Services. Merry Christmas from Tony and the team at the IQ Property Services to you, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, and all the wonderful B Bunker listeners. Wishing you a very, very happy Christmas and a lovely,
thank you very much.
Lovely GIF there.
Tony's back on the show early next year as well, and we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we are. And Justin Dean has done a tweet. Even though he's in here, he's multitasking.
Is he?
He says, we're live on the Business Bunker show with Dex Racing, DEXC _ Racing, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. And you can follow Justin Dean at Justin W. Dean, DEAN. And their website is creativemotion.co.uk.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bromley Buzz has been on. Merry Christmas to the Business Bunker team, Paul and Jules, and thanks for a wonderful broadcasting this year, connecting local businesses and bringing year-round cheer with cheesy tunes and fun banter. Happy New Year from the Bromley Buzz team, Intune PR, Zeenat Narani and Sarah Marsh Collins. Well, thank you so much, chaps, and a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. And they've got a little gif here of a couple of dogs on a treadmill.
She's doing Puss in Boots today.
Who is?
Zeenat. I happen to know. So I said there'll be lots of slapping of boots, won't there?
Oh, when you say Puss in Boots, I thought you meant for lunch.
Puss in Boots. What? For lunch?
Puss in.
What is Puss in? Is it some Arabic dish?
No. So what do you mean they're doing it today? I thought they did it last week.
I don't know.
Are they doing it again?
Well, maybe it was so good she's doing it again.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll ask her.
What part is she playing?
I don't know if she's the puss in boots. I could imagine.
Well, they did Aladdin last week.
No, they didn't.
Oh, yes, they did. It's behind you.
Yeah, I can't keep up with them all. They're doing lots of pantomimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's that kind of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Do you know, I have an absolute fear of pantomime. I never go, and I really don't like pantomimes. I don't know why. It must be something.
Do you know?
Justin, it's no good doing sign language. Tell me.
Emily's been in pantomime.
What are you in, Emily?
Well, no, not this year. She was in, what was it, 20?
Aladdin with...
Oh, you were in Aladdin.
No, in 2018 she was in Aladdin, weren't you, at the Hazlitt Theatre with the guy from... he's a rapper.
Big Daddy?
No,
he's a wrestler.
What's his name?
You mean Puff Daddy?
Richard Blackwood, that's it. Yeah.
Richard Blackwood, what is he? Is he...
You don't know Richard Blackwood?
No, I'm sorry. What is
he? He was in EastEnders.
I haven't watched EastEnders since Den and Angie in the 80s.
Really?
No, I don't like it. Yeah. I used to love Den and Angie. I used to love the chemistry, but now I watch it. And they've all got false eyelashes and lips. And
yeah, very quickly, Tracy Ferguson has also been on replying to Dexter. You're very welcome, Dexter. Wishing you much continued success, young man. It's a lovely Business Bunker interview you gave. So wonderful to hear from such a talented young person in our community. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Justin. Here we go.
Keep listening.
Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio.